Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
I'd like to welcome to the podcast today, Peter McKercher. He is a rental property owner in St. Louis. Hey, Peter, welcome to the show. Why don't we start with you telling us how you got started owning rental properties?
Well, thanks, Dan. Kind of it's a long, funny story of how I got started in 2003. Me and a buddy were drinking and sitting on a couch at a friend's house and just kind of talking. And, you know, we just looked around and we're like, man, we should really own this place and all of our friends should rent from us. You know, we were getting drunk and, you know, didn't think too much of it. And then she called me about 2 days later or so and go, hey, were you serious about what you said, you know, at the buddy's house the other day? And I was like, yeah. She goes, well, just so happens my parents own 250 units in Rockford, Illinois. And so I was like, all right, well, we need to go talk to them. And so I think the next weekend or the weekend after that, we scheduled a trip up there. We live in St. Louis, and I went to school at Webster. And so we drove up there about six and a half hours and talked to her dad. Her dad's like the biggest laid back guy, made a ton of money. And he was like, all you got to do is paint it and jack up the rent. And we're like, that's it? And he goes, yeah, you just find a property, paint it, jack up the rent. And then he gave us a few pointers on how to run some formulas. You know, none of the formulas that I use today, but some good 3,000 foot views on basically how long it would take to pay off a property if there were no other expenses. So being in college, we, you know, didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to get a real estate agent. This is before Google was around. And we basically looked in and found the closest real estate office to the school. And we walked over there and, you know, we didn't know that what we know now, that the person that is there that greets you and answers the phone is the newest person without any clients.
Sure. Yeah. If they had something going on, they wouldn't be sitting there. They'd be out working with clients.
Right. Absolutely. And it was, you know, we go in there and they're like, oh yeah, of course I can help you. You know, it's my specialty. And we're like, okay, this is great. And so we had them pull all the MLS sheets. I think, you know, next day or two, you know, we signed right there. We didn't know what we were doing. And next day or so we pulled all the sheets. We went to their office and we just started running formulas and what her dad gave us. And we just kept running them until we found a few that, kind of worked, but not really. And then we went and looked at them and all these properties were already done. And we're like, well, we can't really raise the rents. They're already perfect. And we start talking to her dad and he's like, oh, you guys are crazy. Just keep looking. So we go out again. The same thing happens. She calls her dad and her dad being who he is and in real estate. And we all have freedom if we own all of our rentals. He was like, well, I'll come down next weekend and we'll look together. So he runs down here, you know, same thing happens. We go look at 10 properties and they're all pretty much all done and everything looks good. And we're like kind of feeling defeated. We're driving back. And the real estate agent takes kind of a different way, the back way to his office. And we're going around a turn, if you know it, Chippewa Kings Highway, if you're a St. Louis person. And there was a building right there in the corner that would have been halfway boarded up with a for sale by owner in the sign on there. And his her dad goes, stop the car. And we're like, what are we doing? This is not the area we're looking at, you know? And he goes, stop the car. This is your building. And we're like, what are you talking about? It has, it's boarded up. You know, it has a gang sitting out on the front. We found out later it actually was a gang. And the building had actually had a bomb thrown in it. So there was no windows, no walls in the first floor.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. Perfect. So, right. That sounds like, yeah, you like know, what you're looking
whatever,
for.
Whatever. What happened to, you know, buy it, paint it and jack up the rent. That went out the window right, real quick.
Right.
No, and he's like, oh, you guys can do this. Me, I have no experience in being handy. I mean, I worked outside and I worked, you know, the summers out on a farm in Arkansas, but I mean, I wasn't like building houses or anything. And she had helped her dad every summer for the last like 10 years. So she knew way more than I did. And her dad's like, oh, it'd be okay. So we buy it. We bought it for $95,000. And I guess the real estate agent got a commission out of that. We don't know how it works at that point, you know, that he had to call the for sale by owner and negotiate all that.
Right.
I know that stuff now. But so then we get in there. Her dad helps us with some numbers. We found a guy that was a year ahead of us in college. We played on the baseball and soccer team, and I played soccer in college, and she played basketball. And we were going into our senior year of school, and we both decided we were going to rehab this and quit, you know, playing D3 ball. And so we start out this project, and he's going to help us. He's going to come. You know, we thought a lot more often than he did originally. You know, said he, you know, hey, I'm going to be there every day, and then he, you know, is there like once a week, but it was okay because he showed us how to do it and he had all the big tools that we needed. And we'd end up doing a four family gut rehab on our first property with basically no inspections because we didn't know we needed them. And we both borrowed $13,500 from our parents.
Okay.
And to rehab it, I had an 800 credit score and my parents had put aside money for me to go to college, but I didn't use it all. And so I was able to do the down payment. And then being 2003, we went to 8 different loan officers and they all said no. By the time we got to the 9th one, we had realized what to say. And we're like, hey, I got 800 credit score. I got a down payment. Oh yeah, I have a job and all this stuff when I was still in school. And they're like, okay, great. When's closing? You know, so right. Shows up. Yeah.
Now, one thing that I think makes your story different from stories that maybe had a different ending is that you had a mentor that kind of guided you in the right direction. How important do you think that was to your success today, having someone that showed you what to do? Because there's probably a million drunk conversations that go on every day saying, hey, let's buy some rentals. It'll be fun. But it seems like your friend's dad really kind of got you going in the right direction.
He gave us that push, that initial push that we needed. And then we had a safety net because we could call him up and go, what do we do with this? How do we do that?
Right.
And later on, when we started really turning and burning, when we needed a licensed plumber or licensed electrician, we were able to pull out of his crew and pay them, you know, a slightly elevated wage plus a hotel fare and travel expense, but a lot cheaper than a licensed electrician or plumber here. Mm-hmm. You know, and what I found out later, it was the ones he was, you know, usually having trouble with showing up. And he knew that me and his daughter would make him show up every day because we had to get it done.
Right.
It was kind of a weird scenario that we found out later, but hey, it worked out really well. And, you know, it was huge, having someone that you could call and he would always answer the phone and, you know, hey, you know, I was thinking about this and he's like, you don't want to do that. You know, you want to do this. And we're like, oh, okay. And so, I mean, definitely you need a mentor. You need somebody out there.
Yeah. That's so important. So how many rentals do you have today?
Right now, we're down from 48 rentals that we own. We're at 12. We consolidated and sold a lot, trying to go after a 40-unit complex last year. And we were under contract, got it. And then we got the real financials from the owner instead of from the broker, and they didn't match up.
Oh, and, wow. What was wrong? Was it, the rent wasn't the same or the expenses were higher? What was different about it?
Okay. Good question. So the rents on average were $100 per door more than actual. And the performa was even $150 more per door. And then the vacancies, they were carrying 6 to 8 vacancies every year. Mm-hmm. And the broker was saying it had 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you're familiar with electrical code, but it all had STABCO, electric code, which is Federal Pacific STABCO. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar, those like to catch on fire. So we were looking at a huge build to renovate all those and get them out there. I don't have any buildings, and I don't have any clients with buildings that have a Federal Pacific box, just because the liability is too much.
Mm-hmm. So how did that work? The broker gave you some initial stuff. Was it just made up, or how could it be so far off?
You know, I'd be really surprised if he doesn't get sued.
Oh, okay.
I think it was completely made up. To my knowledge, they closed close to full price on that property. And whoever bought it at full price, if they had any financing at all, they're basically making $1,000 a month. Okay. And if you have any expenses that are out of the normal, you know, on a 40 unit complex, you just multiply them by 40. It can really be a big problem. Mm-hmm. You know, a roof on the thing is going to cost you $20,000-$30,000, you know,
sure.
Everything just get, you know, if you want to put new windows, you're looking at a couple hundred thousand. If you have a bad tenant and they, you know, get a roach infested couch or something like that, that could really mess you up because it'll spread to other units. So yes, you have to really be careful. And, you know, these big buildings, I don't think they're right for the first time buyers, even the people who aren't seasoned, because it's economy of scale. You know, you can make a lot of money, but you can lose a lot of money. And if you don't know what you're doing and you don't do kind of like forensic accounting on there and making sure all the numbers add up, you really can buy a dog.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and something that I know a lot of people struggle with when they're going to buy their first property. Should they get a single family or maybe a duplex or a fourplex? Now, obviously, that's a lot smaller than this building you're talking about. But what do you think is a good place for people to get started with?
Well, it's a good question. I try to get most of my clients start with a four family. I started with a four family in what's kind of now is known as a house hack, mm-hmm. where I lived in one and rented out the other three. That's one of the ways I secured that loan. But I believe four families with a residential financing on a 30-year fixed, which right now I've seen them in 4.25 for a 30-year fixed, you know, putting 20% down to 25% down is just amazing.
Right. With that first property you had, were you able to make money on it? Were you cash flowing every month?
Yeah, absolutely. So
awesome.
Kind of let's go back to the numbers there. So we bought it for 95, put $13,500 each in it. And then 6 months later, roughly, we refinanced it at $205,000.
Wow, that's a huge jump. What was it, just by fixing it up, you were able to increase the value that much?
Absolutely. And, you know, we gave it a huge facelift, brand new windows, brand new bathrooms. You know, my friends I burned them out because I'd ask for help all the time. And, you know, we sanded all the floors ourselves. All my friends know how to sand floors now. Because of that, we knocked out bathrooms, put new subfloors in. So we kind of it was the nicest one on the block from the worst one, which is what I like to do. And then you can sit on it a long time. And then we are cash flowing well enough where I didn't have to make a rental payment. So kind of going back to that story, three units were cash flowing enough to pay for the mortgage, taxes, insurance, plus a little bit for expenses, which were very low. For maintenance, you know, mm-hmm. and then we took that money, we did a cash out refi, and we bought a six family and did the same thing to it. And then she took that one, and then we took that, and then we did an eight family. The eight family we actually sold in 1 year. We put about 10 grand into it, made 80,000. And then from there, we rolled on to a four family condo conversion, and then about six duplexes. And then that, partnership came to an abrupt halt. So, you know, partnerships are usually going to fold.
Yeah.
Most of them are not amicable.
Now, with that partnership failing, I assume you probably lost your mentor there. Were you still able to keep a relationship with her father, or did that kind of end?
I didn't really try.
Okay.
You know, it was such a bad kind of breakup because it was my best friend.
Okay.
And, you know, it was really weird. And to this day, I'm still a little heartbroken over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's one thing. I was actually mentoring a guy last night who was thinking about jumping in with a friend. I'm like, you got to be secure and know that if things go wrong, you will lose your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everybody kind of jumps into these partnerships. I mean, we had a buy-sell agreement. We had the LLCs. Her dad made sure of all that, which was a good thing because, you know, it's like 4 pages on how you come together and 30 pages on how you get divorced.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing with partnerships is you're right. Most of the time, it's not going to work out, or it's going to end badly. And you know, at least you had that foresight to plan how things were going to end. And I think a lot of people go into it thinking, "Oh, things are going to always work out," but you really got to plan for the worst. So that is good.
Yeah, absolutely, and that goes back to having a mentor push for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I believe that life is too hard and too many people have done this. Why not find somebody that you can shadow, call out? I have a mentor from my hometown that was friends with my parents still. And I had him back then too, but he only did land, but he did real estate. And it's comparable enough that he understands the struggles that somebody in real estate goes through. Mm-hmm. Somebody you can kind of call out and go, "Hey, I'm struggling with this." And they go, "I understand. This is how I did when it happened to me, even though it was completely different." And it's, you need somebody different than your parents, even if you have a really close relationship, because it's not that I needed money. I needed to talk through it.
Right.
And right. I found out that most of the time when I talk through it, I'll come up with the answer. And, you know, that's when a good mentor, you know, he just guides you in the direction so you come up with the right answer.
Totally. Totally. So tell me what you're doing today. So you have a good sized portfolio of rentals. Tell me about your other businesses that you have.
Okay. So kind of being who I am, and I like to control everything. I have a construction company that can rehab and flip. I have a property management company that rents out. And then I own a brokerage company that buys, sells real estate, and then has a small number of agents under me. And this way, I am kind of prepared and able to take on out-of-state investors and even local investors that want to be hands-off. And what I found is really nice is the right hand is talking to the left hand because it's the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't really suggest everybody doing it this way, but when that business divorce that I got with my first partner, I had to put our property into a property management company for 2 months until they ran things into the ground and we had to take it back and divvy things up and really speed up our breakup because they lost over $10,000 in 2 months mm-hmm. on property that was making money. And,
right.
you know, so we kind of handle everything from A to B to C to D. So I can find you a property, help you run the numbers. We can get it rent ready. You know, if you want to do a flip, we can do that. And then we also have the property management in place to rent out the property the correct way. And then also we can sell it when the time comes or, you know, if you want to get out or you want to scale up. So it's a one-stop shop.
And something else that you do that I think is really, really awesome is you have a meetup group, and my listener Scott that introduced us, I guess, goes to your meetup group. Tell me what you're doing with your meetup group.
Yeah, so I kind of started this a little over a year ago. I'm a big fan of Play It Forward, and I'm trying to give away basically all my advice for free. I don't have any books, I don't have any seminars, so I started this meetup at the closest bar to my house. And we call it Dinner with a Mentor. And if people show up, we talk about real estate. Luckily, everybody, you know, there's always been somebody to talk to. It was a little dicey one day that it was snowing, but still had two people show up. And we talk about real estate, on how to get started, what I would do on certain things. And it's been really nice because we have some people that are involved in real estate and we have some people that are trying to get started in real estate, and everybody has questions. And it's not that I have all the answers, but they bring it into kind of an open format. Hey, I'm struggling with this, or what do you think about this? And we talk about it openly, and it's really helped. The feedback that I've gotten, it's really helped people get started. It's really helped people not have pitfalls.
Yeah, I think if I was in your area, I would definitely be coming to your meetup group. That sounds like a really good group you have going on there. If you want to get some more information or you want to check out what Peter's up to, I will put the link to his website on our show notes page. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode67. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.